Okay. Hey, we're gonna get started. So today, just let me touch base with you on this. You can see to your right or left, depending on where you're standing, we've got post-its here with some of the scriptures that address spiritual gifts as well as fruit of the Spirit. Right here is the focus of kind of our four-week field trip, is Romans 12, where it talks about the motivational gifts. And Paul is writing to the church, the Roman church there, the Gentile Christians and Jews, if are any in the mix there, and talking to them about this dynamic of us being a body of Christ, of being many parts working together as one, and complementing one another, and that not all of us are made the same, made differently, and made in such a way that we're supposed to do something with it. Does that make sense? So we're kind of going through this. Here's where we've been so far, is that we've talked about, the first week we talked about prophecy. And when we're talking about prophecy, that can mean so many things. So I've given you a definition here. A discourse emanating from divine inspiration and declaring the purposes of God. So those are kind of big words. So this idea is that prophecy is the idea of God revealing something to you, right, through his inspiration, and then he's asking you to either declare it or deal with it in some kind of way, okay? So there is, according to Romans 12, those people who possess this motivational gift, as we're calling it, of prophecy. And we talked to a few people who have experienced what it's like to live with this gift. And it started with who they were, and then God has asked them to do different things with it, right? Second week, we talked about the giver. And when we say giver, that means, the word here means to impart, to share, to give. So people with gifts of that. Third gift we talked about, mercy. The idea to show compassion, to show and offer mercy, to sort of connect with emotionally, to have this great compassion for. And so we've presented that. And today we're going to go on to two new gifts. Let me take you into the scripture here. Romans 12 is the focal scripture. Romans 12, verse 3. For by grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, right? Not like, oh, this is my gift, look how amazing I am. My gift is the coolest. That's not that. It's not to brag over one another. But rather to think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each one of you. So we're going to use it only as much as we believe that God's asking us to use it and believe in the ability of our gift, right? And many of us are neutralized, I'll use that word, because we don't think we have something to offer. We've learned to glorify certain attributes in people. And as a matter of fact, most of us have been involved in personality surveys, and these things tell us, hey, here's what you do. Well, bad news. Lots of things color your perspective, and lots of situations and circumstances dictate what you do, but they might not be what you were made to do, right? And how you do the things that you do is another variable. It's very confusing, right? Very confusing. And so it takes time to pray. We have to seek God in this and understand who he's made us to be and what he wants us to do. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each one of us, right? Everything, all this comes from God. It's not something we're possessing, owning, making, manipulating, anything. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance to your faith. If it is serving, then serve. That's one we're going to deal with today. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So the idea is your gift. The language here, the Greek that's being translated into this, it's this feeling, it's a something that you possess where. So that's why this gift can be slightly different than like a one-time motivational gift. Or not a one-time manifestation gift. So for instance, if you look here into 1 Corinthians, right? Verse in chapter 12. There's manifestation gifts. There's like utterance of wisdom. The scripture doesn't call you to be the utterance of wisdom person. Like this person just always is the wisest, right? That's not necessarily an identity of who you are. That is something the Holy Spirit gives you in the moment. Does that make sense? Where what we're talking about is something created in you, the point in which you start. And you might offer in the moment an utterance of wisdom. You might in the moment pray that someone would be healed and they would heal them, but you're not owning and possessing healing. That's God's. And he can utilize you to do that. Okay. So let me invite some friends up so we can continue on this conversation. Let's see. So, hey, Reggie and Jane, would you come up? You two come on up first. Guys, Reggie, Jane. It's kind of a fun dynamic because they're married. So, you know. They can't hide from each other as much as they could hide from us. And then Carrie, would you come on up? And Connor. So maybe each gift take a side. So do that.
You can.
Yeah, either way. Yeah, come over this side on the gift. Come on this side. Okay. Right, this is true. So we have an interesting dynamic here. We have the exhorters on this side. So with exhorters, the words are not few. They're plentiful, right? And then with servants on this side, usually the words are fewer and the actions are plentiful. So it should be interesting to see this dynamic. But let me just pray over our discussion before we jump in. Lord, I pray that you would lead this discussion. Lord, I pray that you would give us your agenda, your plan, your words. And I pray that it would reach the ears and the hearts of those that need to hear it. Maybe someone who has these gifts, who's sort of been hiding because they're not so sure what they're made to be and do in the body of Christ. They're not so sure what they've been made to do and what you're asking them to do in the kingdom of God. And so that's an important question. And so we offer this as a help to unite and to equip and to edify the saints. So just give this to you, Lord, and you do with it what you will. Amen. So servant, the scripture says this, if it is serving, then serve. This is difficult because what I'm asking you to do is sort of stop. Don't start from the doing. If we start from the doing, we get confused. But in no way are these gifts separate from doing something. Does that make sense? If you have this gift, you're supposed to use it. But serving, let me give you this caution. We are all called to serve. You see that? We are all called to serve. But why you serve, from which perspective you serve, will be colored. On this side, we have these two who are exhorters. They're very people-driven. When they serve you, they're focused on the person. The practical needs can sometimes be lost on them, right? Things like time and a clock, because the person is the most important thing, right? Prophecy. The person with the gift of prophecy, truth is so important, and what they perceive God is showing them as truth is so important. When they serve you in truth. And teachers, information is so important. When they serve you, information is really important. Does that distinction make sense? So you're going to say, hey, I love to serve. Maybe I'm a servant. Maybe. But maybe it's just because you're a believer, and our Lord, who we're transforming to be more like every day, is all seven of those. If you watch his life, he flowed in and out of these things. In the moment when they needed mercy, he was mercy. In the moment when they needed teaching, he was the teacher. He is the full picture of all of these, and we are created in a piece of his image and brought together to be his body on earth. Okay? Okay. So, servant. If it is serving, then serve. The word serve here, the definition of the root word here has to do with serve. Offering aid, ministering to, or those who execute the commands of others. That makes sense? Now, I want them to have a conversation with us a little bit about what their experience has been personally. And this might not be the same for everyone with this gift, but I hope it will help. Okay? So something we can be observed about those with a servant gift is they tend to recognize the needs of others and find practical ways to meet those needs. So Jane, everyone Jane, right? What would you say, Connor? Everyone Connor, everyone, okay. Now you guys have met. These are two people that I have observed working in this gift and that have had some time to kind of process through that, pray about it, take it to the Lord and say, is this who you've made me to be in the gift that you've given me at a motivational level? And so I've invited them to have a conversation. So what about this first thing, recognizing a need and finding a practical way to meet those needs? What would you say about that? Is it, we off base? Is that true? Is it on? Yeah, it should be. I'm turning around here. Yeah, got a light.
For me, I was sharing with the rest of the group earlier that for me, sometimes it's ministering even to, like, in my previous church, there was a need for small group facilitators. As a servant, I'm not necessarily one that wants to be leading. I don't want to be in the spotlight. I want to be behind the scenes. But there was a need for a small group facilitator because some of the women's Bible study groups were so large, it was difficult to personalize it, to share prayer needs and stuff like that. And so I highly respected the lady that was leading the women's ministry, and she came to me and asked if I would consider praying about that. And so I considered it, not only did I have my small group of women that I was sharing with, but I considered it a ministry to the lady who was leading because I filled the need for a small group facilitator. Yeah. And in the same way at the church, there was a new associate pastor who had taken over the greeting ministry, and I had been a greeter for 6 years. And he came to me to ask if I would be team captain and make the schedule every month and minister to my group of greeters. And in that church, it was a large church, so every week I had to have 11 greeters. Mm-hmm. At different doors. And so it was a ministry to Pastor Josh for me to take the team captain role, make the schedule, be responsible to my team. And I ministered to them by making sure they had water to drink, that they were at the doors they preferred to be at, and things like that.
Right. So it sounds like you were leading, but from the servant perspective.
Right.
See, that's the difficult thing. Just because you're the servant doesn't mean you don't lead, but you're leading from a practical standpoint. Even now when you articulate it, she wasn't necessarily the leader of the team. She's like, no, Josh was there, and I was just here doing the practical things. Who's going to be at all 11 spots? You see that? Do you see the difference? Now, if you get one of those exhorters to lead, they'd be Pastor Josh, and they'd need some servants over here to make sure all 11 doors are covered. Do you see that? It's like the body at work. And the way that this works is this might sound like psychology, and it is kind of. I went to a Northern Arizona Suns game. You know what that is? It's like semi-pro professional basketball. There was guys there 6'10", okay, and can jump like 4 feet in the air, six thin. They're, you know, me, 5'9" plus. My shape is round. I don't get off the ground very much when I jump. I am not equipped to beat that guy one-on-one. So as much as I practice, I'm going to have a hard time going against the guy with a 42-inch vertical who is 6'10". He's going to beat me at one-on-one, like, probably 10 out of 10 times, unless, you know, he slips and falls. And okay. So we're talking about how can we watch how God has built us and equipped us to be ready for these things he's asking us to do. Make sense? So she's giving you an example here. Here's her motivation, and what she did came from the motivation that God put in her, right? Connor, I don't know if you have anything to add to that, or you want me to go on to the next one, man?
Yeah.
See if that one. There's no light, so maybe pass that.
Okay. That works. All right. To me, it seems kind of like the serving is less the service and more of a ministry, it seems to us.
Yeah. So you're saying it's a ministry rather than, you think of it in terms of ministering to others for you. That's
right.
How it
works. Kind of like in the definition you said, to minister to others.
Right.
It was that whole idea of doing that ministry for other people in that practical way.
Right. Makes sense. And the next thing we see is teamwork. They love being part of a team, playing a role in something bigger than themselves. I'd also heard it said that they would celebrate our victory as a team rather than my victory as an individual.
Totally.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Like, whenever I'm working on a project, if I'm doing that by myself, I was like, oh, I wish someone was here. I wish I had a team. We could do this together. It's like, oh, it'd be sweet. But
yeah, right? I went to a coffee shop where Connor worked. So here's, I'm sorry, I'm an exhorter. I'm giving you stories. So we're sitting there having coffee. I meet his manager, and then he looks over at this table, right? This table, it's a table, okay? I'm an exhorter. Tables mean nothing to me. It's people. There's a person right here, and I'm talking to him. But he sees the practical need, and he just says to her, hey, would you care if I refinish that table? I think it doesn't look right. She goes, you'd do that? He goes, well, yeah. And he was excited to do it. The table, like, we need that, right? We need people who see those practical things, and like he's saying, oh, it's a way I can minister to this group who ministers to other people where I work. And it was just second nature to him. Me, I'm totally caught up in the person. That table could have been on fire. I would have had no idea. And I see that, and I'm like, wow, that's awesome to see it at work, right? Yeah. Teamwork, for sure. Okay, empowering others. They have no hidden agenda. And here's why. Because when it's your motivation, you know it's your motivation when it fills you up when you do it. All of us, we need to grow in service. But most of you, when you're done serving, you're exhausted, right? Many of you can speak in public, but if you're not an exhorter and not energized by people, you might be exhausted, like, Connor would refinish that table and be pumped about how it looked. Me, I would be like yelling the whole time when I was trying to do it, right? It would be work for me. It would be ministry for him. So they have no hidden agenda for serving. The serving is the blessing. They tend to be loyal to leadership. Serving others fills them up. Love that. Yeah. So the question was, do you find enjoyment in the serving? Is it just natural? It just, you feel energized?
Yes, of course. You know, because I felt like I, in that case, ministering to Pastor Josh and helping him with a need, but it also, you know, when I was done with my team, it was a joy to serve the team. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And definitely very loyal. I'm super loyal to everybody and anybody.
That's a great strength. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself wanting to be in the background and not in the front? Yeah.
Definitely.
Definitely, okay. Same for you, Connor? Like the back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, like, kind of the enjoyment of serving. Does, like, it seems like for us, it kind of goes both ways. Like, we do the service for the person, but it feels great when we do it. Like, it's like, yes, we got to do this. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, so now, with everything, you understand, just because you have this tendency towards this, that I think is God put in you, there's strong ways to do it and weak ways to do it. When we act led by the Spirit, we do it in the strong ways, and we complement one another. When we do this in the flesh, then these kind of blind spots can come up and these kind of weaknesses. So a couple blind spots for the servant. One is because they want to help people so much, they may have a hard time saying no. So it can lead them to enabling others around them to be kind of dependent on them. Does that ring home? Yeah?
Yeah.
They can be taken advantage of because they're so willing to help.
You can very easily get overcommitted. So it's really important to pray about what the Lord wants you to do. I was sharing earlier that when I first got to an Albuquerque church back in 1986, we had only been there maybe 2 or 3 weeks. And in that 2 or 3 week time period, 5 different people had come up wanting us to be youth leaders and nursery attendant people and right. serving on the Board of Christian Education. And so you have to really pray about what you want your role to be and where he wants you to serve, yeah. where you can meet the most need.
Yeah, like you were saying, kind of the effective and not effective. It has to be like Holy Spirit driven. Because mm-hmm. like sometimes as a servant, you see something, you see a need, and you kind of want to fill that. I know it took a while for God to slap me over the head and say, you can't do everything. right, you can't right. fix everything. So
yeah. That's true. Yeah, and I think, and they also say because the tendency, and of course, you know, there's pastors that lead from a servant standpoint. There's leaders of organizations that are real servant-hearted, and they lead. And so for them, they probably become more comfortable with being in the front. But the tendency is to not want to be in the front and not to be seen and heard as much and just do their job and work hard. So they can sometimes struggle with feelings of inadequacy, or they can feel doubt or shame or lack of self-worth. That can be, what's that?
Or pressure, yeah.
Do you see that? Sometimes, you know, seeing that your gift is so, that because it's a quieter, behind-the-scenes type of gift, it's not glorified in the world as much, and so you can feel.
I tend to be part of a lot of cleanup teams. You know, I may not be able to set up or be part of the regular program, but I'm the one that'll stay afterwards and clean up the trash and wipe yeah. off the tables or put the chairs away or whatever. Yeah. And so.
Yeah. And I think, so I think for us, if this isn't you, to see those servants, but let me give you a next thing we kind of touched on already. They can overwork themselves and burn out. So there is times of replenishment. I mean, everyone has to learn how to get refilled and replenished through the Lord, right, to do his work. Now, I want you to see that these gifts are not only to be used inside the church, but everywhere that you go, right? Because the church isn't just this building. It's all God's people everywhere we go. My dream, and what I think Paul's trying to talk about this, is we can begin to work together. And let me give you a little story, Connor, and I'm sorry, just because I'm giving this story because I've spent time with him in these scenarios. But I think it's funny learning about how you and Reggie met. It's your servant heart that had you go towards him in the first place. You guys wouldn't even be married if you didn't have that heart, right? And so I think because God gave you that heart, he's used that for his kingdom. It's worked both ways. It's worked personally and in the kingdom of God. And Connor, we went to a youth camp. They served us meals. After every meal, we had to clean up all our dishes and wipe down all the tables, right? First day, first meal that we get there, we're all eating, and Erin's shaking her head. She knows it's true. All of a sudden, there's Connor with a rag, taking everyone's plates, has a smile, just wiping down the tables. And everyone's like, well, okay. Pretty soon, day 3, 4, 5, it was like a competition. Everyone was racing to eat to see who could outserve the other. True story, right, youth? Yeah. Now, we need each other. Do you see how important that is? Because we need to be as much of Christ as we can be, and our brothers and sisters exemplify and show a piece of Christ that may not be natural for us. And the Holy Spirit is the one that leads us, right? I mean, you look at the gifts of the Spirit, and that basically describes a servant and mercy. And so when the Spirit's working in us, we will serve. But that might not be our primary motivation. And we need the servant to call us out to help them serve. Right? But I just think there's some great pictures. So offering that to you, I'm going to go over to Exhorter now. But this is the beginning, guys. This is not a complete teaching and information session. It would take too long. But maybe if that's you, you can begin chewing on that, thinking about that. Ask me questions. Ask them questions. If you can, come to the small group when we have that so you can work this out. Pray to God, most importantly. Ask him to show how he's created you to be and how he can utilize that in his kingdom, wherever it is. Okay? Next side. Okay. Reggie, everyone? Everyone, Reggie? He's got a good haircut and a beard, so can't be too bad of a guy. Carrie, everyone, Carrie. Carrie's my sister. This is not a case of nepotism. It's just she's my sister, and she has the same exhorter gift that I have. Yeah, right? Yeah. And so Also, so you know me, I'm an exhorter. You see this coming out of my mouth every week. Linda is also an exhorter, and she's been through this material, right? So we are here if this is something that you want to chew on and work on and try to understand. Well, so the exhorter encourager, depending on your translation, is one of the motivational gifts from Romans 12. And the scripture says, if it is to encourage, then give encouragement. When we think of encouragement in English, we think it's, we just throw a bunch of positive stuff at you so you feel better, right? That's the context of our English. Well, the actual definition to encourage or exhort, the original word here means to call near, to invite to one side, to call for, to summon, to implore, to comfort, and to encourage. It's greater than that. The biblical example of this one you really see is Paul. And he's not always delivering easy messages, but he's always like, come here to truth where I'm at. Let's go here. I implore you. I'm challenging you. And God gifted him with many gifts to do this. But his motivation appears to be that of an exhorter, encourager. So I think that helps me see it, because he wasn't always roses and flower-filled fields, right? He had delivered some hard words and messages. And sometimes an exhorter, encourager isn't always going to just bathe you with positive comments and thoughts. So a couple things about, once again, the characteristics of those who are great at encouraging and exhorting. People-oriented, energized by being with people. True? True story?
Yeah.
Yes.
Totally.
Totally. Go
ahead, definitely. We thrive off of people.
Yeah.
I have a good friend in the audience, and you have to stand up. Where is he at? Lowell, stand up, please. Please.
Yay.
This is Lowell. This Lowell. Is my good buddy, Lowell. I point him out because he gave me the name as mayor.
The mayor.
Because apparently everywhere we go, or even if I'm by myself, people just come up. It's kind of like electric. Mm-hmm. You know, like you attract. Yeah, it's that energy. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes you like, you don't think about it because you just automatically, man, you just fill in.
Yep.
And you fill in the gap.
Yeah, I love being around people. I work from home, so, like, it's pretty isolating. So, like, in the middle of the day, I'll be like, I want to go to the grocery store. Like, who wants to go to the grocery store just to, like, walk around people who are probably rude? But I just feel like I need to see people.
Right, right. Yeah, I think, and you can kind of tell, too, maybe this is your experience. Let's say you go to an event, right, and there's a bunch of people there and a lot of interaction, and you get home, and maybe it's 8 o'clock. Okay, I'll go 7 o'clock because some of you might be later depending on your schedule, right? You go home at 7 o'clock. Could you just go right to bed, or do you got to, like, talk about it for 3 hours? The exhorter is energized and is like, wow, I'm kind of pumped after coming off of all those people.
Yeah.
Do you have that experience?
Totally. I always come home. Well, I used to go to this Bible study on Mondays, and we get home at, like, 10 or 11. And the kids would be asleep, and Ola would be, what? Not 10 or 11? 12. Okay. And then I would wake up my husband and be like, okay, let me recap the entire thing and tell you about everything and everyone
stories.
And all the
yeah.
stories. We like stories, for sure. He calls it working the crowd.
Working the crowd. The mayor, working the crowd. Yeah, yeah.
And so, I have to concur with that, because my poor wife, the servant, you know, I'll come home and I'm like buzzing. Right. And, you know, and are you listening? Are you hearing me? And, you know, and I'm just dumping, and I have to do it. I got to get it out.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She's like, okay, I got to go to bed. I got to go to bed.
Right.
He's usually like, I hear snoring. I'm like, oh, I guess he fell asleep. I guess he fell asleep. Go to bed now, too.
You put him to sleep. Yeah, right? So relationship is important. The thing about an exhorter, and this is something that God really uses, is they're able to make a quick connection with people in a short amount of time. And they can do that with a lot of people. Sound?
You want me to touch on that? Or
if you want to add to it.
Yeah, the blind spot of that, which I really walk in all these blind spots, as we'll see. But a lot of times you have
all these friends, and then you feel like convicted that you can't have time for all these friends to make like super deep connections with them. Like, oh yeah, my friend. Well, she's kind of my friend. Like, I know her, and I know all these things about her, but like, have I hung out with her in six right. months? No. Like, that kind of situation, right? Yeah. Do you have something similar? Like, well, you have a couple really close, and then a lot of friends?
I don't have close friends. I have friends.
I don't know.
And what happens is, because, well, that's family.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Lowell's family. What happens for me is that I just have so many people that I know, yeah. it's like they come and go. So if I build a rapport, I've come to a point where I understand that I may not speak to that person for a year, maybe a year and a half. Then when we connect again, it's like we just pick off where we left
yeah.
off.
Yeah.
So that's where I found that's happened a lot.
Yeah, they also can keep because they can handle a lot of relationships and a lot of conversations, they can keep a very full schedule, which can be a blind spot, but also can be a great resource, right, and tool for them to use. They can get a lot of things done. That seems true.
Well, for me, I used to be like that. Yeah. And I got to share this because this has been an impact in who I am. And that's why, for me, I've got to really be in prayer. Because that's who I was where, oh, yeah, I mean, I had a lot going on, and that was fine. The more I've had going on, the better. But when I was inflicted with MS, that took a lot of that from me. And for about 2 years, it was like I had to regroup. Lord, what am I doing? Where am I at? Because this is not right. And so now it has limited me in how many things I can do. And I got to tell you, it was frustrating. But because of prayer, the Lord brought me through that. And it's interesting because people, when they see me, they don't know I have MS.
Right.
But that's from God that he's given me the strength to work through that. Mm-hmm. So people don't know that. And so I still have a part of that. Not where I used to be, but I still have some of that. So that's just a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, I thank God for that.
Yeah. And with that, because there's, and so this might not, so far, this is not sounding hyper-spiritual, right? Okay, you could talk a lot, whatever, yeah. No, but because we people are in it, like I said, we see the people and maybe not the things. We care, but we don't get fixated because we can handle a lot of people and a lot of conversations. We're able to do something which is really powerful, I think, in the body of Christ, as we connect people together, you build bridges. I'll give you a story. For me as an exhorter, when I've been at places of burnout in my life where the maturity as an exhorter is to understand you can't go 100 miles an hour forever. So you get burnout or you get physical ailments where God is kind enough to remind you to slow down a little bit, right? But in that, if you go to a place of burnout, then the light in you that is your gift is dampened too. So I've had experiences where we've had dinner with people, and my wife says, you have to show up. Like, we're all waiting for you to build the bridges so that we can connect. And when you're burnt out and you're not doing that, everyone's floundering. You seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Family.
Yeah. Yeah, well, in different in different dynamics.
Like I have to be there to
this is
talk.
Right? And so that you see that that's why it's so important, and I think as we live with each other in these gifts, we try not to put out the light of God in us through this gift that everyone else is dependent on so that we can be the body. You know, when your arm's broken, that's rough, right?
People become so used to that. That's what they expect, so that when you do retrieve in your corner, it's like, well, yeah, something must be wrong. You don't like me or something? Or, yeah, there's something that's not right.
Yeah.
That's not what they're used to.
And that's why I would say that operating in the exhorter gift enables others to operate well in their gifts. And if not, like any gift, you're missing something. Yeah, question. What happens when you what happens when you get a group of exhorters together?
We can go all night.
Right, that's right. That's right.
Valley Christmas.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I think, well, and I think exhorters need that too. You know, we can, because you get fueled off other people, we can kind of refuel each other. And then in that scenario, you're not, it's not all on you. Like, we can share that. We'll just take turns telling stories. And my story will trigger a story for you and for you, and before you know it, it's like 4 hours later, right?
I got an example of that.
Okay.
I got a story for you.
We were in California, and I think for Jane, it was the first time in seeing all of my siblings together, including my mother. And Jane's like, wow, you want to talk about the energy. Oh, my goodness. She said, now I can see why you are the way you are, because the energy, these people, they're just giving stories after stories, and they're just buzzing. And she's like, I need to take a break. But, you know, we're just feeding off of each other. We're sharing stories from way back when. Mm-hmm. So just memory lane. And you know how that gets.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah, so some of the blind spots for this, for someone with the exhorter gift, you can get stuck in people-pleasing, right? And, you know, people-pleasing or peacekeeping. You're trying to make sure everyone's happy. And what happens really when you try to make sure everyone's happy? No one is. You're not happy and no one's happy. So people-pleasing, confrontation can be hard.
Yes. I'm terrible at confrontation.
Put that towards your mouth.
Oh, sorry. I'm terrible at confrontation. Praise Jesus, my husband is great at it, so I need to be better, but sometimes I'm like, hi, you want to come alongside me and help me out with this one?
Right.
People-pleasing, yeah, 100%. I am younger. That's going to be my excuse why I'm not as good at being a people pleaser.
Or not being a people pleaser.
I am a people pleaser. I'm being a people pleaser. That's why I'm bad. I don't know what I'm saying.
Well,
I'm confusing everyone.
Yeah, well, you learn confrontation.
I think for me, I draw a line because I am confrontational. Mm. I love confrontation. That's just something I thrive off of.
Yeah.
That can be, so with and, a lot and of these things, there's learned
could be
behaviors.
The New York thing, yeah. Is what she said? Yeah.
Yeah. That, and that very well could be.
Because, the context of where you grew up definitely impacts all these things. So she's saying her husband is an exhorter and he can do confrontation.
Yeah. Right. That's exactly.
Yeah. So she's saying even and I think you're making a good point. And what I'd like to interject here is this idea that, yeah, guys, you're not growing up in a test tube, okay, or in a padded room. Like, your circumstances, God will use those to transform you and grow you. So some exhorters, like what you're saying, your husband's experience is you see him actually getting energized by conflicting with the people because it's people. And being in construction...
Yeah.
Being in his industry, that's a confrontation.
Okay, so like she was saying, I think too, like if you get to the heart of this, like I noticed if you do decide to take the class, I felt like the people who maybe have lived a little longer, there's a lot of learned behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a little bit harder for some people to narrow down their gift. Like for me and my husband, it was like I checked almost every single box. And you will have like characteristics of each gift because... If we have Jesus, we have some of it. You don't
right.
want to not have mercy or not have, you know, a servant heart. Like, I serve, and I love to, like, but see, I come from a different place. Connor's, like, I always joke, like, Connor's Mr., like, tables. We need tables. I'm getting all the tables, right? I'm the one that's, like, I don't want to leave those people with all the crap to clean up after, so I feel guilty or I feel like I want to help the people.
Right.
Not that, like, there's a need to clean. It's, like, oh, I don't want to leave Will with all the stuff to clean up. I'm going to text him and say, do you want me to come back and help you clean up?
Right.
Because it's like I'm more concerned with Will having to do it or whoever having to do it versus like, oh, it's just messy and I feel the need to do it.
Right.
So that's the thing. I think with him, he's getting like buzzing from, it's still like, I want confrontation because I want to interact with someone, mm-hmm. you know? It's still like maybe.
So that, yeah, that's a good illustration of the sickness if you enjoy going to Costco with all the people. Right, right.
Yeah, I agree.
Right.
I like
now, so let's just to sort of hit home on this point again, these are all the starting places. Once we realize where we're at, I think that's where the prayer is like, Lord, give me mercy when I need it because my tendency might not be towards that. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm more practical minded, if I'm one of those gifts that's paying attention to the things, you know, you're watching a movie and you're like, oh, that's a different cup on the table than before. And then your friend, your partner, your spouse is like, what? Like, I didn't notice that because it's the people versus the practical minded. And in those gifts, these play. And so when it's something that's not natural for us, we pray that the Holy Spirit guides us. Give me mercy. Show me. Give me a servant's heart, God. Don't. This isn't like a box we put you in. I'm an exhorter. All I'm going to do is talk. The rest of you can do everything. That's not what this is about. Understand I'm an exhorter. So these are some things about me. And from this, I'm going to minister. Right? Another blind spot, you can overcommit and underdeliver.
Yes, overcommit. I feel like underdeliver for myself, but for other people, I don't want to let them down.
Yeah.
So like I'll put all of my things on the back burner if I need, because I have to get this done because I said I was going to get this done.
Right.
But definitely overcommit. You feel like that?
I don't know. I'm reflecting back at work where, you know, I may have been involved in more projects than I could or should have been. And so what I've done, because I've known so many people, hey, I would delegate. So that would usually get me out of that.
Yeah.
That.
But I think if you take that to another level, I mean, you have a professional and a personal life, right? Or a ministry, professional and personal. So if you're over-delivering in one of those, the others are suffering. And we don't always have the perspective of that. So like, man, yeah, you're getting everything done at work or in the ministry you're involved with, but the weeds are getting out of hand, or like you half fixed this at home. That makes sense? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or you let down, or you drop the work thing to take care of the home thing. I think that's kind of the point, is it's impossible to please everyone, mm-hmm. and you, and in an immature way, you won't set boundaries and say no. You'll burn yourself out, and most of the time, the exhorter will, because they love people so much, of course, everyone close to me understands that I have to take care of the people, and they will hurt those closest to them in favor of all the demands out there. And so you think to yourself, well, I'm getting my checklist done. Yeah, but the checklist is only a fraction of what it is that today needs, right? Come to my house, man, tons of half-finished.
Yeah, that's what projects. I was going to say, like, my husband will not start something if he can't finish it in the same day. Whereas I'm like, let's start this project. Let's do this. I have like 900 half done things. I'm like the 95%er. I kind of joke because when we went through this, they give you like biblical examples of people who had that same gift. Obviously, they were more in the spirit than me and had less of the blind spots. But I like to joke because it was Paul, and Paul was awesome. And he would like start things, but he would delegate someone to take over church. I'm going to start a church, whereas I need to work on that because I'm like, let's start this. Okay, I'm bored. Move on.
Right.
You know?
Right. So the maturity that he had in the spirit is they utilize that. So
it's good to see because then you can pray through these things.
So, okay, so can you guys give me an example? And then I want to go back and ask them the same question. Can you give me an example of where God used this gift to minister to someone?
Like when I was at the hospital with him last night.
Okay.
There was a lady that was sitting next to me, and she says, I just got out of jail, and I'm like, what happened? She says, I got picked up for drugs. She says, but now I'm a year and a half sober.
Okay. Yeah. So you're saying you were able to
encourage.
You were able, right? You were able to be there to have a conversation, to connect with someone in a short amount of time and offer them encouragement. Yeah. But what about
Well, for me, similar to you, is I'm sitting on the bus minding my business. I may be reading an article, whatever. And I always seem to attract those who were influenced by drug, or they're just, you know, bad luck on the street, and they just sit right next to me. And I'm like, okay, Lord, give me what I need so I can handle whatever's coming at me. Because I have no clue who this person is, what he's about ready to do or not do. And next thing you know, he starts talking. And it's like, you know, I'm like bad on my luck. And I'm thinking, oh, man, I ain't got no money for you.
Right.
But that, no, it's not even that. It's like I just need somebody to talk to. I've got some issues, and maybe you might have an answer. And as I listen to him or her, you know, then as I'm praying, I'm responding. And when I'm responding, the person just looks at me like, the person will either react like, hey, you know, are you a believer? Do you know Jesus? Because then he starts sharing his Jesus story. I'm like, oh, wow. Or the person will look at me and say, you know, there's something different about you. I'm not sure if I like that, because they may feel threatened. And I may not have said much for them to feel that way.
Yeah.
But that's what they're,
yeah.
So it becomes more of a spiritual experience versus just
right.
What I said.
So I think, you know, and that, I think that, so I'm thinking in terms of time right now that we have to introduce this. I'm just thinking if people are out here and thinking, well, that, yeah, this sounds like me. Man, how can we help them to see God put that in you and he wants you to use it? And I think what, that's sort of my, the question here, what I hear you saying is in your ability to have a conversation and connect with someone and show that you care in a relatively short amount of time, mm-hmm. you can minister to people using that.
That's
totally. And I feel like anything, God does the work.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like what he was saying may have not been like, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And to be honest, half the time, if you're like, Jesus, 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 people are like, okay, I'm out,
right.
you know?
Right.
But like, for example, like it's hard to, because we are talking to people, you don't really know the effect you have, but like our neighbor, the first time we met her, I just introduced myself, started talking to her. She's like, by the end of it, crying, telling me about how her son died of cancer, hugging me. You know what I mean? She just, something in her spirit felt like I was a safe place to confide and land, you know? And she's like such a dear woman to me now, you know?
Well, I think that's an important point with all these gifts as I'm going through this more, and that's why I'm so excited to share it with you, is because there's something beyond the tangible, something spiritual that happens. It is almost, it's in you and everyone's seeing it. And unless we celebrate this in everyone, then those people are going to be hiding. So many of us are hiding because we don't see our gift. If it's the exhorter, everyone's like, oh, you know, here Will goes again, right? You're talking too much. And you're people-pleasing, and you get burnt out, and then you aren't to the world what God's created you to be to the world, is someone who can deliver information, message, and compassion. And so if the Lord leads you, he can use that. If your flesh leads you, you're going to people-please and over-talk. Okay? Then on the other end, can I see these real quick? Over here, on the servant side, I guess that's my question. So if I'm out here, I think I might have the servant gift. Can you say anything that would help them? And how can I look at how I can help? How can I give me a perspective of how, if I'm a servant gift, how I can help the kingdom of God? Not just the Ridge. I'm talking about everywhere that I go, every place that I'm involved as an agent for Christ. Do you have anything? I'm putting you on the spot.
I would say a big part of that is willingness.
Okay.
Because I know personally, God hadn't given me willingness to go do something, go serve, I would have never had relationships, friendships, questions answered, lessons learned that I would never if I was not willing to go do that. Because like a few people outside of church, inside church, I went to go help. I felt like I should go help there. And now I have some really awesome friendships that I would have never had, and had conversations that I would have never had.
Right.
Things that I would have probably would have never learned so early. So I would say willingness.
Yeah. How old's Connor?
17 in a few days.
Yeah. Is that like 16 and 11 twelfths or something like that? I don't know when you stopped doing that, but. Because I just see that, and maybe what I see is maybe the servant doesn't get how important it is what they bring to the table.
For me, I was just thinking as Connor was talking, I use a lot of it even in my work. Mm-hmm. I'm a geriatric case manager, and so I have elderly clients, and there's a lady that we just have as a new client, but just being available to her, families, you know, one daughter's estranged, the other one's in Chicago, and she has very practical needs right now. Can somebody swing by the house and check the mail? Can somebody find me another place to live? Can somebody, and I have a gentleman who just turned 90 who's a huge football fan. And he has DirecTV, but he has some confusion. So during football season, he couldn't find his Dallas Cowboys and his Oklahoma Sooners and the Cleveland Browns on his television. And so I took that upon myself to create a football schedule for him every week. And on Friday afternoon, I would deliver it to his house, and it had the, you know, who played who, what channel, what time. And then I would call him and make sure that he found his game, or, you know, we'd talk about the game a little bit. But I use it a lot just in my everyday work that I do to try and just meet a need that maybe they don't have anybody else to do that for them.
Wow, thank you for that. Yeah, it's really powerful. You know, let's give him a hand, guys. Guys, thanks for... Oh, you got something else? Oh, sorry. Connor's got one more thing. Hold on a second. Go ahead. I don't want to cut you off, man.
No worries. I think... if you think that someone is worth taking that 3 or more seconds out of your day to go do something for them and just to fill that practical need, yeah, serve it.
Thanks. Thank you, guys. So, well, you guys did a good job, all that information in a short amount of time, but... yeah, so I hope you can see from this example, like we have, you know, and just because you're good at connecting with people, the Spirit is the one that's going to give you things like mercy and patience and kindness, right? So He guides this. The motivational gift is just the beginning and the motivation. Let me give you one more illustration that might help. Do you guys understand? My role, okay, my motivational gift is an exhorter. Now, in practical terms, I went to college, I studied business, I became a manager and like a director and a vice president, okay? And then from there, I came into ministry and I became a pastor. Well, as a manager and director, I look back and now I see, because I'm an exhorter and not a leader gift, the way that I led was people-based. I'm not a very good director who sets up structures and watches you all do it. I'm a much better coach who's on the field rolling the ball to you. Because I am an exhorter, so I'm always like, come alongside where I'm at. Let's go. And so as your pastor, I've tried at times to come up and offer you a sermon that maybe would be preached by someone who wrote a Bible commentary, like a teacher, the information. And spiritually, it doesn't connect because it's not who I am. So even though I am a pastor and they are a pastor, the way that I pastor is colored by my motivational gift. You hear pastors, you listen to them, are great teachers, man. Information energizes them. Right? You know the guys I'm talking about and girls or whoever you're listening to? Okay, what about prophets that are pastoring from a prophet standpoint? It's always these revelations, and this is what God wants me to tell you. They're doing it from that lens. There's pastors who do it as a servant. It's very practical. You see that a lot. There's pastors who are doing that from an exhorter gift where it's people-based. So these don't limit what you do, but they are why you do what you do and how you do what you do. So as you begin to understand that about yourselves, and it helps you to take a step back, and then you can look at all the things you are doing in your life and do those in a way that fits with who you are. Okay, let me invite the worship team up, guys. We're going to do that. Let me just pray. Like I said, hey, find them, bother them. Keep them here for the next hour talking, the speakers, you know, if you have questions. If you see yourself in any one of these gifts, maybe someone that you love, you have more questions about, okay, what do you do and how do you operate? Do that, and we'll come back next week and finish up our conversation, okay? Lord, thank you so much for your mercy. for your patience, Lord, and for your guidance as we tackle something so complicated and something that has to do with the Holy Spirit, that has to do with the way that you knit us together in our mother's womb, that has to do with all the mystery that's you. And we would love to be able to understand it, God, but at some points in time, we just scratch our heads in wonder, in awe. So Lord, lead us in these great questions of who we are in you and what is it that you want me to do, Lord, for your kingdom. Thank you. We love you. We offer this music, these songs as sung prayers to you today. Be glorified and be honored, Lord. Amen.